Okay, so it's great to be back. Last week was just like an introduction, but this week we're starting the first week yeshiva. I said to one of the rebbeim earlier today that I'm telling you the truth. I really feel this week was the best first week of yeshiva. There's a lot of different aspects. I'm not saying in terms of, I'm not over exaggerating. I'm not saying something that's not true. I've been in yeshiva many years. This was the best week of learning I've ever seen for a first week of yeshiva. And it's not even close. It's amazing what was going on this week. And we have to daven. I daven. I hope you daven. We should all daven that it continues. First week is always a little bit easier. It's fresh. It's exciting. I daven the freshness. It continues. The excitement continues. A lot to be excited about. The people, what's going on, the energy. There's a lot to be excited about. And Mirtz Hashem, that the freshness of the beginning should continue for the weeks ahead.
Amen.
So I want to talk about a common conversation, nothing particularly new, but a common conversation that I think is worthy of, we should address a few aspects. I think it's relevant for us right now. So Hashem tells us this wild story. It's an amazing story. There's a little speak it outside. First, I don't want to lose guys by reading. So we'll speak about it outside. So there's this kid, wonderful kid, he grows up, wonderful parents, wonderful family, great kid. He grows up and he makes a couple mistakes. Really, just makes a couple. I don't even understand fully what the mistakes are and why they're mistakes. But a little kid growing up, and he makes a couple mistakes. And we title this kid. We give him a diagnosis. We call him a Ben Sora or Mora. Terrible diagnosis. Nobody wants this diagnosis. And with that diagnosis, there's one remedy. There's no medicine. There's no therapy. There's nothing that can cure this diagnosis. We end the kid. We nifted the kid. It's Chayav Misa. The kid's Chayav Misa. It's a shocking thing. It's a really shocking thing. Rashi says, the Gemara points out, the Medrash talks about this, that he's narrowed al shem so. He didn't do anything. The kid didn't do anything. Poor kid. I wish I could say the kid had maybe a little bit too much of a good time. He didn't even have such a good time. He did a little this, a little that. He didn't do anything wrong. The kid didn't do anything wrong. So you read this and you're wondering why we're so overly dramatic about this kid's fate. Hi, Misa. And so we said, I'll shame Sofa, because we know what the end's going to look like if you let this kid keep going down that path. He ate a little too much, he drank a little too much, and now you know where he's going to end up. I don't know anything. I've seen a lot of guys, they end up just fine. I've seen guys who have done amazing things, and they end up becoming incredibly amazing. One thing is not an indicator of the other. Just because yesterday you were like that doesn't mean what's going to happen, doesn't tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. But by this kid, we have this confidence. We have this, we claim fact that this diagnosis is going to be a death sentence for him and for others. So we end his life early. Questions about free will, I'm not going to talk about these things, but philosophical questions about free will. He's a kid, and he's just a kid. We're not even talking about, he's not 13. He's a child. He's a child in halacha. He's a child in society. There's no hope. There's no change. There's no possibility for change. And really, it's not an isolated storyline. It's not in a vacuum what's going on here. It's really part of a bigger storyline. Because the Torah is telling you a bigger story. What really happened is background. It's background to the story. I'll tell you about Pops. I'll tell you about this kid's dad. This kid's dad, he went out to war. And what happened when we went into war? You look around. There's spoils of war. There's great spoils of war. You pick up a gold coin here, you pick up a watch there, and you pick up a woman over there. There's spoils of war. There's great things to pick up on the way. So, to pick up the watch, it was Yiddish, it's Aveda, Midas, Hefker. The guy left, the owner was killed, we conquered the city. It's my watch. Arei Elu Shelo. He's allowed to keep it. The spoils of war belong to the victors of war. So I would say, if you ask me, okay, but you got to stay away from this. Halachic issues I'm not going to get into the details. There's halachic issues over there. And Hashem, in his fascinating way of running this world, Hashem says, that's okay. You could take her home. You could take her home to take the watch. You could take the shoes. You could take all the merch, and you could take his wife also. You could take her home. Says you could take her home. But if you do, I want to tell you what's going to happen. So the next few psukim talk about a story of an inheritance, and it says you have a couple of wives, and one of the wives you don't love. You don't love this wife. And then it talks about Ben Sora Mora. So Medrash says that this is not by accident lined up next to each other. Hashem said, if you're going to take that woman, you're allowed to take that woman. He told you, you're allowed to take that woman. But if you take that woman, she's going to be, you're going to have a Ben Snua. She's going to be a Snua by you. You're not going to love her. You're not going to love this woman. And after that, you're going to end up having a Ben Sarimor. So the prediction here is not even starting with the Ben Sarimor, that this kid is going to go down a terrible path just because he ate and drank a little bit. The prediction really started much earlier. The prediction started with Pops. Pops went out to war. He took this woman. At that moment, when he took that woman home, the prediction already began that after you took that woman home, now you're going to hate that woman, and then you're going to have a Ben Sora Mora. I thought we believe in hope. This is the month. This is the month of hope. If there's no hope, then this month we're gonna get hurt in a few weeks. In a few weeks, hope is all we have to hang on to. David Hashem Orvi Ishi. Hashem is going to be a major salvation in a couple weeks, in a few weeks. We need a major salvation. We're not perfect. We're not supposed to be perfect. Nobody's supposed to be perfect. And so Hashem is very kind to us. He gave us a few days coming up. And in these few days, we get to correct a lot of mistakes. We get to apologize. We get to feel bad in a good way, in a healthy way. It's going to be amazing. We make mistakes. There's hope. We could change. The whole world could change. My direction could change. My personality, my behaviors, everything can change about me. And Dad, he didn't even do a mistake. Hashem told him he's allowed to take her home. He did something he's allowed to do, and then we create a destiny for him that he's going to have a Ben Sora Mora, and you got to kill that kid. So I want to talk about predictions. Now, predictions are complicated. Shouldn't make predictions. Predictions are complicated because there's a lot of variables in every prediction. There's complex variables. We're talking everything from weather patterns to gambling, sports teams, fantasy football. When you try to make predictions, I don't know, you hype yourself up. You feel like you know what you're doing. But at the end of the day, it's only one guy who wins the fantasy football league. And everybody else is just, you're throwing darts. Predictions is throwing darts. Because it's impossible to predict what's going to happen when there's a lot of complex variables. But imagine, and we're going to imagine that you have a situation where you could eliminate all the complex variables. You have, let's say, just for example's sake, you have a field goal kicker, and all the complex variables, you take away the weather, there's no wind factor, you take away the snap and the holder, that's going to be stable, you take away the defense, you remove all outside variables, there's nothing going to be complex about this prediction. So what happens? You turn a field goal into a free throw. Now free throws we can make predictions. Free throws we can make accurate predictions. Because I know, is a fact, I'm going to tell you a fact, we all know this. I know that there's a guy, we'll pick a guy, Steph Curry, that I know I can make an accurate prediction. If he takes 100 free throws, not in practice, but in an actual game, he's going to hit 91 of them. I'm comfortable making that prediction. Because that prediction, over time, if you have enough data, and there's enough data that tells us that his history, he hits 91 out of 100. So that history will predict the future. If he hit 91 out of 100, then I can assure you he's going to continue to hit 91 out of 100. And we could even fine-tune it. Because it's not eliminating all the complex variables. That 91 out of 100 was developed over a 15-year career where he was in different moods, he had different personal issues going on, he had different crowds, he had different pressures, and accumulated over 15 years is a 91% free throw percentage. And that means that tomorrow and next season, again, assuming nothing changes, no injuries, nothing changes, he will continue to have a 91% free throw ratio. Now, it's scary to consider, because these are inconsequential. A free throw ratio means nothing. It's irrelevant. It's only in the culture that we live in people care about this stupidity. It means nothing in life. Your free throw percentage. Nobody cares about your free throw percentage. You have people investing in getting a better shot and working on their field goal percentage and these things. It's very valuable if you want to be a cool kid. But in reality of life, these things have no value. But just like it's true with inconsequential things, it's true with important things too. Because I could predict, like 91 out of 100, I could predict based on historical data, we could all do it, you don't have to be a prophet to do it. I could predict based on historical data, who's coming to chakras tomorrow. I could predict based on historical data, not just who's coming to Seder, but I could predict who's going to put effort into Seder. I could predict who's going to have a good relationship with their roommates. I could predict who's going to get along with the Gavrusa. I could predict who's going to get a kesher with the Rebbe. All the things that you want when you come to yeshiva, all the things that you want in life, I can tell you if they're going to happen. If there's enough data in your history. If there's enough data, this is the scariest thing. If there's enough data in your history, I could tell you exactly what your marriage is going to look like, what the relationship with your kids are going to look like, because after you had the fifth kid, we just look at the previous four. And the same way you behave with the previous four, unless that fifth kid is some angelic kid that God dropped in your house, if he has some similarities to the previous four, then I could predict exactly how you're going to treat him and exactly the dynamic that's going to be between the two of you. Because we're creatures that are bound to repeat the past. This is a scary thing. I'm not talking about the philosophical issues of how does Bechira Chafshis work, but there's major philosophical issues. Major. Major. If I could tell you if you're going to show up to Shacharis tomorrow, I'm not convinced you have free choice. But for sure we have free choice. We'll go quick. We have to end quick now. We'll end quick. And when we think about why we're here in yeshiva and in life and in the world in general, we're here for important things. And the important things that we're here for, we're here for behavioral development. We're here for spiritual development. We're here to get close to Hashem. We're here for big things. And if what we're saying is true, then there's a very gloomy outlook. Because if you struggled with something last year, then the prediction says you can struggle with it again this year. And if you struggled with something for a couple years, then the data says you're going to continue to struggle with it for the next couple years. And this is a very gloomy outlook. It's a very scary thing if you buy into this. And we kill him, Al-Shem Sofa. Because we know what's going to happen to this kid if he grows up on that trajectory. And he's no different than anybody else. We're all the same. Just his trajectory was a little bit worse because it started a generation back with a bad decision that his father made. One bad decision will lead into the next one, into the next one. And next thing you know, a small child. The poor kid, a small child. We know what it's going to look like in a few years. Unless, and this is a major unless there's a way to break the system. I'll tell you something fascinating. We've had a lot of Eishes Yifas Towers in this world. The Gemara talks about hundreds of Eishes Yifas Towers. There's been hundreds, at least, maybe thousands, of Eishes Yifas Towers who have landed on this planet. And not one Ben Sora or more. How did that happen? Like the Torah is wrong? The Torah made a prediction that's not true? The Torah said, you marry your Yifas Tor, you're going to hate her, you're going to have a Ben Sora Mor. But there have been a lot of Eishes Yifas Torahs. And we haven't had any Ben Sora Mors. So what happened? What went wrong? So I want to tell you what went wrong. There's a different phenomenon. Because another storyline in the Parsha. And the Torah tells a story, a fantastic story, about a bird. There's a bird, has a couple eggs, a few eggs. And it tells you, when you want some of those eggs, you got to chase away the bird. Something funny to start this storyline. We'll get back to it. To start this storyline with eggs and a bird. But if you shoo away the mother bird when you want these eggs, what's going to happen next? Im kiyamta mitzvah shiluach haken. Sofcha livnos bayis chadash. At the end, Hashem's going to give you a piece of property with the kaya mitzvahs maikah, and you're going to build a fence around the roof, around the ledge of the property. One mitzvah will lead to another. V'togia, you're going to end up with a kerem v'sodeh. You're going to end up with the opportunity to do other mitzvahs with a kerem and a sodeh, with a vineyard, a field. V'lebegodim noyim, you'll end up being allowed, entitled to avoid shatnis, to put tzitzis. Mitzvah, gereres, mitzvah. It starts with an egg. for some reason, when you have these eggs and you shoo away the mother bird, this is not by accident that it starts, the story starts with this example. For some reason, when you shoo away the mother bird and you're interested in taking the eggs, that's going to start a new trajectory. When Steph hits 91 out of 100, I don't know, he's the best free throw shooter. He's one of the best free throw shooters. Second best. I really don't care. But thank you. I appreciate that. He's better than me. He's better than you. It bothered me that he can't get to 93 out of 100. It bothers me that he can't get to 97. Until you realize that this is reality. Reality is, best case scenario, you're shooting 91 out of 100. That's reality. Reality is, you're not perfect, and you're not going to be perfect. That's a blessing. That's the greatest thing you could hear your whole life. Reality is, best case scenario, you're going to fail 1 out of 10. That's a blessing. That's a great thing to hear. Hear that loud. Hear that clear. Know that for the rest of your life. Reality is, you're not going to go 10 out of 10. That's reality. The question is, what becomes your habit? For some people, the one becomes the habit because the one was the identity. And for some people, the nine becomes the habit because the nine is the identity. And I want to tell you a secret. And you'll fact check me over here, whoever my fact checkers are over here, second best free throw shooter, you'll make sure I'm accurate over here. My best guess is he didn't start at a 91% free throw shooter. My best guess, when he was yay big, he was maybe shooting 20, 25. And then he got to 30. And then he got to 40 and 60 and 80. And at some point in his development, he hit 91. But he had a range of 25 first, and then 30, and 35, and 40. And the percentage of failure was greater than the percentage of success. So what happened? What happened was like this. If you know that when you fail, if you know when your challenge gets the better of you in life, if you know that that's not you, if you acknowledge that that's not your identity, if you understand when you do something you're not proud of, and you do something that you feel you look at because you're very hard on yourself, you look at as a failure, if you know with clarity that that's not you, then you're what I call, you got rid of the origin. You got rid of the mother bird. Because when you look at your life, and every day is like this, when you look at your life, that every day is a fresh day, that yesterday doesn't predict today. And just because yesterday that was my 1 out of 10 day, it has no indication on today. Every day starts fresh like an egg. And these eggs are waiting to hatch. Every day these eggs are waiting to hatch. There's one thing you got to do. You got to separate the origin, the previous, from the future. You got to separate the mother from the egg. And you got to separate the Eishes Yifas Tor. You got to separate dad's mistakes. And you got to separate that woman from their child. As long as that woman, as long as she created the trajectory of the child, oh, for sure, that kid's going to be a Ben Sarah Moore. Oh, absolutely, nothing to talk about. Because going down that road, if you continue on that path, he's going to hate his wife, and they're going to produce a child that's a Ben Sarah Moore. But if you cut that, at some point you cut that, and you say, even though I had a failure, I had a mistake, I did something I wasn't proud of yesterday, but tomorrow's a different day, then history will never predict your future. When you develop behaviors and you come to yeshiva with an agenda and an interest to improve your character and to develop a work ethic and all these details, these generalities and details, you want to get to davening every day, you want to be on time, you want to be a respectful person, you want to be a caring person. You're talking about real, real heavy behavioral changes. Heavy. And I want to stay clear, this was, like I said in the beginning, the best first week that I've experienced in yeshiva in my life, in learning. But I'm scared. I'm scared because there's something called the first week fluke. First weeks tend not to be the norm. They tend not to be the standard. Because at some point, failure sets in. So I thought we got to talk about this. What's going to happen when failure starts to set in? In the past, when failure sets in, it's so easy. The trap is so available. The trap is so open and ready to take. You're ready to jump into that trap to assume, who am I kidding? you know, I came here with these lofty pursuits. I want to develop. I want to change. I'm saying change is a gorgeous word. People are afraid of the word change. Change is a gorgeous word. Change means you want to become yourself. That's what it means. You want to really develop yourself. Change means you want to become somebody. You really want to become somebody big. And most people, when I say most, I mean old people. Old people, when you're 18, 19, 35, 45, 52, you're not you yet. You're not you yet. When they wrote in your yearbook, never change. No, rip that page out. Change. Change. Ignore that piece of advice. Worst advice you ever got in your life. Don't change. You're amazing. You're not amazing. But you have amazing within you. You're amazing for an 18-year-old kid. But you got to keep becoming more amazing, because at 25, you got to be much better than today. At 35, you got to be much better than 25. You got to keep moving. But it's tricky. Because when you move, and you move on to bigger and better, you expose yourself to more opportunities to failure. And I want to say clear, failures are your greatest gift. They're the greatest opportunities you have. When you struggle for a day, and you make a mistake for a week, and you had a rough month, the best gift you ever got. Because you look at that, and you separate the mother from the egg. You separate the Eishes Yifas Tomer from the baby. And you understand that your history does not predict your future. When it comes to Avodas Hashem is understanding the eggs you have available to you and letting them hatch. You let them hatch because you nurture them. But you have to dispose of all these terrible, terrible, terrible attitudes. Terrible attitudes that allow you to believe that you're stuck in old habits. Terrible attitudes that allow you to believe that old habits are your identity. Your identity is whatever you want it to be. The best place in the world is the yeshiva with 18-year-old guys. Yeshiva with 18-year-old guys is a place where everybody's so optimistic, so vibrant and hopeful, that you could be anybody you want to be. You could do anything you want to do. And when you make a mistake, or you see a failure, or you see something in your past that comes and rears its ugly head, that's still present, you're going to miss 1 out of 10. And you're not the best free throw. You're not the second best free throw shooter. You might miss 2 out of 10. You might miss 6 out of 10. But it's going to change into 5 out of 10, and 4, and 3, and 2, and 1. But one's always going to be there. You're never going to be perfect. But when we go through yeshiva, the first week is gorgeous. The first week is amazing. But I want to encourage you. When the struggle starts to settle in, when you realize that it's not as easy, it's not as smooth as it might appear. I would love to come the first week and say, whoa, this was an amazing first week. Let's keep this going. Let's keep this going. But I want to talk real. It's not going to keep going. It's going to be very hard to keep going. You're going to fluctuate. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to ride these waves throughout the year. These are the best waves to ride. I'm telling you, get your surfboard. You're going to have an amazing time. You're going to have an amazing time riding these waves. As long as you know that you can be anybody you want to be this year. You can accomplish anything you want to accomplish. Any character, any midah, any path or part of Avodas Hashem that you want to incorporate into your life, it's fresh. These are eggs waiting to hatch. So Mirtz Hashem, with the beginning of such a strong week, we should continue. And we're going to go down. Shana Bet guys are not familiar. Shana Alf guys for sure. So we're going to, every week, give a short shmooze. And then afterwards, we're going to go downstairs, play Shiva, everybody together. We're going to spend time together, reveling in the week. Just enjoying, basking in the results. Basking in what we've accomplished over the week. And it's not individual accomplishments. We don't do individual accomplishments in yeshiva. Why would you? Why would you be satisfied with individual accomplishments in yeshiva? We're all together. Is the yeshiva unified, everybody together? We're going to bask in the accomplishments of everybody. Your shir, your room, the whole yeshiva. We're going to sit together. We're going to enjoy. Downstairs, Roberta's going to say a few words. We're going to sing together. And I'm telling you, every week, if you can do it, you're going to change your whole year. Every week when you go downstairs, just make a highlight reel. Try over the week. Make a highlight reel in your mind. When you sit there singing downstairs, make a highlight reel in your mind. If you need help, tell me. I'll get a videographer for you. I'll set it up for you. Make a highlight reel in your mind. What did I do this week? How much have I accomplished this week? And you'll see, if you're honest and you're self-aware and you understand yourself and you understand how to work and what you're doing, oh, the highlight reel is going to be gorgeous. You're going to have a great time. So let's go down. We're going to head downstairs. And Mirza Shem should be the beginning of a great